The risk of African swine fever getting into Australia is very real. And as we've heard on the Country Hour, the disease has been spreading throughout Asia this year and has recently come as close as Timor-Leste. If there was to be an outbreak in this country, the impact on Australia's pork industry would be devastating. But the flow-on effects could also be felt by our cattle industry here in the Territory. To tell us more is Ashley Manikaros from the NT Cattlemen's Association. Ashley, in the last few weeks, you've been in several meetings to discuss African swine fever. Can you give us a sense of why the Cattlemen's Association is included in these talks?
Sure. So the issue with African swine fever is that it can't be passed on from, say, a pig to a bovine. That's not the issue. The issue comes in what happens if there is an outbreak. The problem for us in the cattle industry is what happens if there is an outbreak here and what are the restrictions that will be put onto the transport in particular of livestock, including cattle. So it is in our interest to be aware of what happens. The other aspect associated to it, Matt, is that there's a very large feral pig population that exists in the Northern Territory. They estimate the population to between 500,000 and a million. Which is just a small fraction of what the Australian estimation is of around 24 million. Mm. And these exist on pastoral properties. So there's a lot for us to take an interest in. And we think that we also have a network of pastoralists that can assist when it comes time to implement any type of response management plan.
On the potential transport implications, what have you been told about what might happen?
Well, this is an interesting question because at the moment, both at local level, as in the Northern Territory government level, and also at national level, they're still working up response scenarios because at this stage, they view the greatest vulnerability to be through the Brisbane-Sydney-Melbourne airport network.
Yep.
And I think that the response last week of Senator Bridget McKenzie, the Agriculture Minister, where they discovered 27 tonnes of pork products that had come through. And in fact, there was an Asian national who was sent back to her country when she'd come in with those pork products, is where they are focusing their attention. However, as recently as yesterday, the National Farmers Federation, and we support this call, had pursued the government on either a containment or an eradication program in regards to feral pigs.
Nationwide. I've got it here. Farmers call for a feral pig cull. Immediate action on the 24 million feral pigs.
Yeah, and we actually, I had a meeting with the office of Senator McKenzie last week, and that was one of three items that we put to them, is that we'd want to see it. There seems to be some interest in whether or not there's an ability to monetize that feral pig meat, which is what they used to do several years ago and send it away to Germany in the EU. However, I would say to you that probably with health guidelines being what they are, that it may not be able to achieve that, given that you are talking about a wild population of animals. Now, I've also had discussions with Pork Australia and Margot Andre, who, of course, used to be the Cattle Council chief executive. They, too, are right into this issue of feral pig containment. In the other aspects that we talked about, and they're assisting us with it through Pork Australia and through on-the-ground representation from some of our local senators and representatives, is in boosting the biosecurity presence here in the Northern Territory. At the moment, we've got the sniffer dog Suki in town, but we need more than that. And I think over a longer term, it is actually a very good road test for us to see how we respond to the biosecurity needs, given that we're always at risk of things like foot and mouth. Mm. So there's a lot happening on there, and we're in discussions of that. And on full credit to the federal government.
Do you think it's realistic to try and, cull the feral pig herd in Australia? Do you think it can be done?
No, look, I'll be honest with you. They struggled to do it in Europe. And I think what you would be doing is taking a large chunk of it out. So can I say to you, at the current climatic conditions, now may be the time to do it. So in other words, very dry, so we'll at least take a heap out of it. And I think that's probably the bigger key. If we lessen the numbers, we'll lessen the impact, should in the foreseen future that something happens on that ASF, then that's going to be one area that we're not going to have to be overly concerned about.
Yeah. Sorry to go back to the transportation.
That's right.
So there is a risk that, say, an outbreak gets declared tomorrow of African swine fever, and all of a sudden there's a call for no road trains to move any livestock from north to south. Like, that hasn't been agreed to yet, but that is something that potentially could happen that you're worried about.
Yeah, it could be overzealous to sort of look that far down the track, but there's some of the implications. Now, that doesn't mean the road trains will stop. What it means is that there will be restrictions on how they move.
Yeah, because cattle, as you say, can't contract African swine fever,
no.
But they're treading over ground that feral pigs with African swine fever, and if they've got mud on their hoofs, then it can travel that way.
Yeah, and adding to the complexity of that in terms of the movement is, Matt, you'd be aware of this, is that there's no substantial wash bay facility anywhere in the Northern Territory. And that's another area of infrastructure we've had a discussion. So there is at East Arm Port, and there are some smaller ones around the place. But in terms of our borders, there isn't a washdown facility. So we would think you need at least two, probably one in Alice Springs, definitely one in Katherine, and preferably one somewhere on the Barkly on that Queensland border. So we're going to work up a business case to be able to do that.
Wow. I'm surprised by that.
Well, I think many people would be.
I don't know the Queensland. I know in Western Australia they've got one there at Kununurra.
That's
NT
right.
Cattle going west have to go through it.
That's exactly right. But what you don't have is you don't have one here in the Northern Territory. So you've got to literally drive to Kununurra to wash down your truck to do whatever. So, and in Central Australia, there isn't one at all. So we need that type of infrastructure. Now, we've done some costings, and it's about $2 million a bay to be able to do it. And primarily, that is to do with the water separation and the treatment, and then there's an ongoing cost of what you charge per litre. That all fits into part of the proactive insulation component of being able to deal with ASF. But to go back to where you were on the transport, it's the additional costs that will be associated and time delays associated to that livestock movement. And then, of course, our trading partners and what their reaction will be to the fact that ASF is around.
Yeah. With the cattle industry and the federal government, there's a plan sitting there on the shelf of what to do if foot and mouth disease pops up. Have you been given a time frame on when something will get sorted? On an African swine fever response plan?
Yeah, look, no, other than we've been reassured several times that they are more than advanced in terms of what they've got. But the problem is, though, you're talking multiple scenarios.
Yeah.
The scenarios change if it arrives at Sydney Airport or it arrives in a container in the Sydney ports or in Melbourne ports or Brisbane ports. A bunch of feral pigs die
in Arnhem Land.
Yeah, so there's different response mechanisms. I actually think that they are, to me, I'm not sure what the response mechanisms are in the north. I know the DPIR is working on those. I haven't seen them yet. And I don't expect to see them for some time soon. I think at the moment what they're really trying to do is educate travellers to say you need to be conscious of this. This is actually a very serious threat. And when you think about where ASF has moved through and the speed with which it's moved, it's a genuine threat to our agriculture sector.
And just before I let you go, Ashley Manikaros, the news this week that the Independent Observer Program has been changed to a risk-based approach, so basically meaning independent observers no longer required on the short-haul voyages in the live export trade. Do you see this as a good or a bad thing for the industry?
Look, I think it's it adds to it. I think it's a good thing from a producer's point of view. We've got very good, very low mortality rates. We're only talking about a 5 or 6 day sail time out of Darwin into Indonesia. So we've well and truly within that short haul. And I think on figures from recollection out of the 174,000 cattle that had been transported, that there was like a death toll of around about 79. Whilst any is not acceptable, it's actually pretty good in terms of the scheme of the quantity. In terms of the independent observers, though, the benefit from our industry's point of view, it's just an overhead that gets removed because I think that they are better off spending that overhead and resource on high-risk trade routes. And I don't believe that Darwin to Indonesia, given the length of that sailing time, is high risk.
Thanks for your time.
Good on you, Matt.